Amen. It's good to see everybody out there. The home group meeting for the first one for year 2018. I'd like to thank everybody for all the wonderful emails over the holidays and so forth that was sent. Thank you very much. I'm looking at a real nice card from the Bible School in Romania right now. So thank you, Ina, because I know that you listened to the home group meeting. Amen. And I'd like to thank everybody for all of your encouragement. Last year we finished with 263,000 hits on our website. And so even though we may have, 10 or 15 or so, people here, I know that people are listening, and that's worth the while. And so we just thank everybody for listening in 2017. Know that 2018 is just going to be even better. Amen.
Yeah.
And as I get going for this very, very first teaching for this year, I really feel that this teaching is critical for what God has for each and every one of us in 2018. And I just wrote that down. I wrote that down because I feel that this teaching, that's why, I was looking forward to a lot of people coming out so we can lay this foundation in a lot of people. I just feel that this teaching, this one here, is going to be critical for what God has for each and every one of us in 2018. So as we go on, and as our custom, there's a couple of areas that we'd like to look at the last month, so that we can kind of point our heart and our spirit towards what the Lord would have for us. And so about three different points that we looked at last month we looked at get the picture. Did we get the picture? And there was a picture that we were trying to project. The first point I'd like to look at is the glory of God can be a place of confusion to one, but to another, the glory of God can be a place of revelation. And we saw in Exodus when there was a cloud that was separating the Egyptians from the Israelites. And the Bible said that the cloud was a place of confusion for the Egyptians, but it was a place of revelation for the Israelites. So too in our life, the glory of God can be a place of confusion, not knowing, confused, uncertainty, and all of these things to which we must walk through. Or it can be a place of revelation. It can be a place of revelation of knowing. And that happens when we allow God to work in our life and bring us to that, to that revelation. Amen. The second point from last month, really, really important point, and that God expects us to relate to the glory of God. God expects us to relate to the glory of God. That's His intention for us. That's God's intention. We are to be able to relate to that. We're to understand that. After all, Isaiah 43:7 says that we have been created not to be happy, not to do what we want to do, but we have been created for the glory of God. We have been created for God's glory. Now we think, so we've been created so that God can do things for us and we can do things for God, for God's glory. That's not what that's saying. We have been created for God's glory. The glory of God. That's why we've been created. It's for His glory. The glory that He wants to impart to each and every one of us. And the third part, point that we looked at last month, is also a very, very important point, is we will reflect the amount of glory that God has been able to work into our life. We can only reflect, we can only project, we can only use, you can fill the word in there, the amount of glory God has been able to work in us. We can only behold His glory. In the name of my ministry is beholding His glory. Well, we can only behold His glory or hold the amount of glory we can behold of God. We can't behold all of His glory, but the glory that we can behold, that we can understand, that we can see, only that amount is the amount that God has been able to work into our life. That amount that God has been able to personalize to us. Unless God can personalize His glory to us, we'll never be able to have it. We'll never be able to hold it. It will be fleeting. We will see it. Children of Israel saw the glory of God, but they never personalized it. They were never able to bring that into them, and they were never able to hold it. They would just watch things go. Three critical points that brings us up to wilderness truth for modern times, number 50. I was just thinking about that. 50 months we've been sharing wilderness truth for modern times, and it's just a wonderful time. So, wilderness truth for modern times, number 50. The text is here, taken from Exodus 16 and 10. And remember, we're in the wilderness of Paran now. And remember, the wilderness of Paran means glory. The wilderness of Paran is God's glory. Amen. And here, Exodus 16:10 says, "And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked towards the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud." That's very, very important. That they looked toward the wilderness, and and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The glory of the Lord, it was not in the fruited plains. It was not in a well-watered place. That the glory of the Lord was in the wilderness. And we know the wilderness is that place of testing and developing. That place where God is able to work in our lives and teach us and lead us. That is the place that the glory of the Lord is. It's not in good times. It's not in when everything is wonderful. The glory of the Lord is working in our life in the wilderness and in those tough times. Amen? You know, what we see depends upon our point of view. What we see, what we look at, that word see is understand. When we see in the Bible, we see that word see, that's always related to not that vision, and not that vision, but that's always talking about an understanding. So, what we understand depends upon our point of view. It's always on our point of view. And our point of view is the direction in which we habitually look. Right now, I'm looking at that chair, or, you know, at that door right there. That is where, what I'm looking at now. But I normally don't look at that door. That is not what I normally look at. That is not what habitually I look at. But the gaze of the Israelites had just been on meat, which they desired, but they did not have. And of course, right before this, the children of Israel, they wanted something to eat. They were hungry. So they complained, and God finally gave them manna, and God gave them some quail. But only when they looked toward the wilderness did they see the glory of God. And of course, we know in the story, they looked toward the wilderness, and out of the wilderness came the quail. Wow. Out of the wilderness came the quail. And then the next night, the manna, God gave them the manna. But as they looked toward the wilderness, they saw the glory of God. The glory of God was not in the meat which they desired, but the glory of God was in the wilderness in that very, very difficult time. Amen? Whatever we focus on in our lives, we will become that. Let me say that again. Whatever we focus upon in our lives, we will become that. If we focus on things that are not of God, then we will become those things not of God. If we focus on those things of the world, then we will become those things of the world. But if we focus on, thus saith the Lord, if we focus on God's Word, then we will become that. Whatever we focus on in our lives, we will become that. The reason why many of us, on different occasions, miss seeing the glory of God is that we are looking towards what which we desire. We are viewing Canaan land when we should be looking toward the wilderness. And the children of Israel, they were looking for the Canaan land. They were trying to get out of the wilderness because they thought there was no life there. They were looking at the promised land, the Canaan land, and we're going to go up and we're going to possess that. That's what they were looking for. But the life for them was in the wilderness. That's where the quail came from, in that cloud. Our desires, unless God's desires, can be sin to us. Our desires, unless God's desires, can be sin to us. And because, you know, sin has been dealt a death blow, but you know what? Our desires that are not of God can be very, very controlling and can move us out of God faster than sin. We must be very, very careful with the desires that we have in our heart. Amen? We should always go after what God wants for our life. Psalms 37:4 is a wonderful verse. And I hear this quoted by a lot of prosperity teachers and a lot of churches that, you know, just have no real self-control in their Christian walk. And I see, and you know, I see these pastors and these Christians, and they have no real control. And it's, you know, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and God will give you the desires of your heart. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll be honest, I do not want the desires of my heart. Matter of fact, if I got the desires of my heart, I would be in serious, serious trouble. The desires of my heart probably would push me out of God. Jeremiah 27 says that the heart of man is deceitfully wicked, desperately and deceitfully wicked. That's the desires of our heart. And so we should not want that, you know, the desires of our heart. And if you go back and you look at that word desire there, that word desire has nothing to do with joy and fulfillment and happiness. That word desire there in Psalms 37:4 means malleable. It means pliable. It means to be bent. It means to be folded in two, actually. And so if you go ahead and if you say, allow God to bend you and mold you and fashion you, then He can give you the desires of your hearts. You know, delight yourself in the Lord, and people sing and they dance and they wave flags and they roll around and do all of these things, and there's just no spiritual understanding. That is a very, very powerful verse. Because if God can work in our life and bring us to a place where we can be molded and we can be, you know, malleable and folded and into God's desires, then He can give us desires of our hearts, because our desires will be His desires. Wow, what a powerful, powerful truth there. Amen. Amen. If the glory of God is appearing in the wilderness and we are gazing at the promised land, we may see the promised land, but we will never see the glory of God. Never see the glory of God. When the glory of God has come to the wilderness, it is time to give the wilderness our attention. God brings us into the wilderness specifically to see His glory. For those that have notes, you need to underline that sentence right there. God brings us into the wilderness. He brings us into tough times and difficult areas and, you know, all of these things that we call bad, so that He could make us malleable, so He can bend us, so He can mold us, so He can fold us, so He can give us the desires of His heart, because then His desires will be, or our desires will be, His desires. Wow. If we want to come to, He wants to bring to our vision His mercy, His grace, His long-suffering, His provision, His purposes, and most of all, His love. And right here, in one sheet of paper that I passed out, I have what's called the Parthenon of the Glory of God. And as I go through this today, you can look at this figure and you will see some of the things that I will be talking about. And one thing I've already talked about is the wilderness. to wilderness, how important the wilderness is, because the wilderness is where the glory of God is. It's not in the promised land. The glory of God is in the wilderness. And I talked about our vision already, right? God wants to go ahead to bring you our vision of His mercy and His grace and His long-suffering. And so as we go ahead and we go through this, I will be talking about a lot of these words that are up here on this. And so this is like a little encapsulation of what I'll be sharing all and want you to pay, because there's a lot of spiritual things, you know, moving in this. Amen?
Amen.
Although many are brought to the wilderness to see the glory of God, not all see it. It's God's intention to show us His glory. Everything in the Bible is God's intention. Everything in the Bible. You know, be able to speak to the mountain and have them be removed. That's God's intention. But for you to be able to speak to the mountain and have them removed, it's not up to God, it's up to us. Are we willing to walk in a place and come to know God into a place that we'll be able to speak to the mountain and they be removed and cast into the sea? Anything in the Bible, everything in the Bible is always God's intention. The question is, do we have enough of a desire for God in our life to be able to walk in and fulfill those things, the condition that God has for our life? Wow. Many people, when they come to the wilderness, they go through tough times, they go through hard times, they beat their head against the wall, they allow God to work in them. And there are some people that they go to the schooling, they go to hard times, and they never understand it. They never get it. And they just keep going through it again and again and again. The direction of our vision is that particular time in our life will determine what we shall see. It will also determine what we are not seeing of what that God wants to show us. Many times we are looking at certain situations and we don't see it. We see something else. And so God is showing us this, and we don't see that we are looking at something else. And that, again, that goes back to our vision, what we are looking at. So it's very, very important when God begins to work in our life and He begins to show us something, like our heart, or He begins to show us something about somebody else's life. Wow. You know, I made a mistake one time. The Lord kind of showed some things to me about a pastor. I mean, some really bad things. And I went to this pastor, and I was really humble, and, you know, I said, you know, Pastor so-and-so, God showed me some things, and man, you talk about angry. He got angry at me. He almost punched me in the nose. Almost kicked us out of the church. He was so angry. And later, I went back and I asked the Lord. I said, well, Lord, you showed me these things about this pastor, you know, and he was doing some really bad things. And why did it turn out that way? And He said, well, when I share things with you, they are for edification and not notification. So many times when the Lord shows us something about ourselves, it's about edification. When the Lord shows us or shares something with us about somebody else, and here, do that. It's not about, we don't need to go run and tell them. We just need to go ahead and pray for them and pray for those situations. Amen? The direction of our vision in any particular time in our lives will determine what we shall see. What is our focus? What is our gaze? Amen? We shall miss seeing His goodness as we constantly gaze at the unfulfilled desires and long for the comforts of the flesh. Wow. We will miss seeing His goodness as we constantly gaze at unfulfilled desires. Can you believe that we have unfulfilled desires? And we all have those. We all have, I wish I would have done this. Or last year, 2017, I wish this would have happened, or this. These unfulfilled desires. Well, we need not have those unfulfilled desires. or this long and this comfort for, oh wow, I wish I would have got this, or, you know, no, no, no. We must never focus on unfulfilled desires, and that's what writing down, or be what we think we need to become. I need to be this, and I need to be that. I talk to a lot of kids, and what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a basketball player, I want to be a brain surgeon, you know. But actually, the correct answer is, I want to be what God wants me to be. But I never turned out. I never became the person that I thought I needed to be. I should have been this, and I should have been that. But you turned out this way. Right? It doesn't matter what we think we should have been. If we're walking with the Lord, God's got a plan and He's got a purpose for our life. And as we live our life, then He will bring that plan and that purpose to an end if we allow Him. And we should not rest on unfulfilled desires. I should have been this. Everybody tells me I would have been a great whatever. Well, that's not, you know. To be honest, I wanted to be a doctor. I'll be honest. I wanted to be a doctor. And I remember laying in my bed at the Naval Hospital in Oakland, California, looking up in the air, praying, and I had a choice whether I wanted to be a doctor or marry Karen. I had a choice. I could have been a doctor or marry Karen. And I chose to marry Karen. And later in life, as I followed the Lord, I had doctors work for me. I became a medical service corps officer, hospital administrator. I had all these doctors working for me. Wow. God knows how to take care of His children. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We must never ever focus on unfulfilled desires in our life. The wilderness is a place of opportunity. And right here we have opportunity. So we see wilderness, and then on top of that is opportunity. Amen. Here from the wilderness of Paran, the children of Israel could have moved into greater opportunity. When they were in the wilderness of Paran, the children of Israel could have easily went into the promised land. They could have easily went in there. Nothing, or hardly anything, would stop them. Amen? The children of Israel could have moved into greater opportunity. The possibility of taking the promised land was theirs. God Himself actually initiated the conquest of Canaan at this time from this place, as it is seen in Numbers 13 and 3. Now, this is phenomenal here. Moses, by his command of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, and all those men were heads of the children of Israel. So now we hear about the 12 spies that went into the children, you know, into the promised land to spy it out. They just weren't the best soldiers. That's not the people that God picked. God picked all 12 heads of the leadership of each tribe. There were 12 tribes, and each tribe had a leader. And these were the men that went, like Joshua and Caleb were two, and the other camp, and you know, they were all leaders of the 12 tribes, and those were the spies that went in to check out the land. Wow. Opportunity in life is for life. Opportunity in life is for life. And that is not living this life, but opportunity in life is for the life of God that He has for our lives. Our opportunity in life is to receive of God the life of God, His life for us. And it is only found in God and in the wilderness and not in the promised land. The place of provision. And, you know, that's one of those vision things. The place of provision for the children of Israel was not the promised land at this time. The place of provision was the wilderness. Amen? Amen. Opportunity to move forward into 2018 will only be found in God. Now, I'm going to be a lot of prophetic that I'm going to be speaking here. Amen? Amen. Opportunity to move forward in God. to come into that life, the life that God has. And that's not living the life, that's the life of God, the Zoe life that has for us. And the opportunity to move forward in 2018 is only found in God. The wilderness may not have been seen as a launching pad into orbit of spiritual reality and living, but the wilderness is that, and it's more. It is a place of opportunity. So the wilderness is a place where the glory of God is found. The wilderness is a place of opportunity. A particular opportunity, Numbers reads. Numbers 13 and 2. And thou man that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers, shall ye send a man, every one ruler among them. These men are going to search and discover. Search, discover it. They're going to go and they're going to search and discover. These are moving toward that which God has promised them. God has already promised them the promised land. God initiated that. He said, okay, there's the promised land. Now you guys go ahead, send out 12 people, and go and discover things. Wow. Go and discover things. That's amazing. Revelation and discovery is found in opportunity from the wilderness, from the difficult things. Revelation, and discovery and searching, all of those things is found in opportunity from the wilderness. Discovery is what we use to conquer with. The things that we discover are those things, the tools. Those are the things that we use to win the battle with. And that's why God sent the 12 spies into the Canaan land, because He wanted them to discover what was in there. And the things that they were to discover is what they were to use to conquer the land and to do it. But as we know, that wasn't the case. Amen? Revelation and discovery is found in opportunity. Every opportunity that God gives us, there are things we are to find. We are to discover. There are spiritual things. Every time God gives us an opportunity to do something, there are things that God has for us, and there's revelation that we get out from those discoveries. Amen? The Israeli spies are going to discover things which they have never through existed in that promised area. What do they discover? They discover the fruits of the land. Amen? Numbers 13, 26 and 27 says, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and to the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Right now, their point of view, what they were focusing on, their attention, was the fruit that they discovered in the land. And they told them and they said, we came into the land, whether they send us out, and surely it flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Numbers 13, 26 and 27. This was quite a revelation for those people who left the fertile waters of Egypt. This is also quite a revelation and discovery for the people that have been eating nothing but quail and manna. That was it. Quail and manna. And suddenly here is people coming back with a land with fruits. I mean, huge. Wow, what a discovery. Mm-hmm. But not everything that shines is made of gold. Amen. Amen? The only things that shine in God are things that have been refined by God. The only things that shine in God are those things as they're finding. And you know, as we know, as the story goes, that 10 of them said, we can't go up. Now, God initiated all of this. 10 of them said, we can't go up. They brought back, they discovered all of this fruit and all of this stuff. And 10 of them says, no, we can't do it. So God said, okay, fine. You guys can go this way to the wilderness. 40 years in that generation that said, no, we can't do it. They died in the wilderness except for Joshua and Caleb. God set everything up. Wow. He gave them discovery. He gave them revelation. He gave them everything. And the Bible says that they died in the wilderness. Amen? God has His way of refining us. And that's what He was doing to the children of Israel in those 40 years. He was refining them. And unfortunately, only two made it in from that generation. Foundations are necessary for revelation. Right here. Foundation of revelation. Foundations are necessary for revelation. The more abundant the revelations, and the fuller and richer they are, the more the need for greater and stronger foundation. That is a huge, huge point right there. I'm going to go ahead and share that again. The more abundant the revelation, and the fuller and the richer they are, the more need for a greater and solid foundation. Well, Mike, you're a builder, and you know if you build a three-story house, and you don't have, you know, good footers, and you don't have a good foundation, you know that house is just going to crumble to the ground. Well, that's the same thing in the spiritual world. The more revelation and discovery we have from God, the deeper and the fuller, the more of a foundation. The more of a foundation we must have in our life, because we will not be able to hold that, you know, that revelation. All of those wonderful things that God has for the children of Israel, they couldn't handle that because they did not have that foundation. And so true in our life. If we do not have a foundation of relationship with God and man, if we do not have a strong foundation of relationship with the Word of God, and doing all of these things and allowing God to work in our life, we will never, ever be able to hold the revelations that God has for us, that we need in our life to enable us to be successful in God and do the things that He wants us to do. Amen? God will often bring us through difficult places simply to establish in us a sufficient foundation and strength for the revelation which He desires to give us. And that was worth coming for tonight, let me tell you. God will often bring us through difficult places. Why do we have difficult things? Why do good things happen, or why do bad things happen to Christians? Why do I go through this, and why do I go through that? Well, God will often bring us through difficult places simply to establish in us a sufficient foundation and strength for the revelation which He desires to bring us. If God cannot build a foundation in us, then He can't give us revelation. You can go to church all the time you want. You can hear all the good preaching and singing and do all the good church activities and stuff like that. And you know, that will be fun and enjoyable. But if God can't take you through something difficult, and that you can see that God and God alone brings you through, then you'll never be able to build a foundation of trust and faith in you. Another one of these words, like responding, trusting right here, trusting, right? If God cannot take you through something, He'll never ever be able to build a trust in you that no matter what happens, though God play me, yet I will trust Him. Amen?
Amen?
Unless we have the foundation, we will never ever be able to contain the revelation and discovery that God has for our lives. The foundation is critical. The foundation is what holds God's glory. If you do not have the foundation, For revelation, you will never ever be able to see the glory of God. Never. It's impossible. You will never ever be able to see the glory of God unless you have that foundation of revelation. Amen? It is God's revelation, not ours. And God brings them to us. But the question is, do we possess a strong enough foundation to be able to support the glory of God in our life? It's not about the revelation. Oh my God, what a wonderful revelation. It's deep and true. I have met many, many, many wonderful Christian teachers that have a tremendous revelation of God. But their character sinks. They're not trustworthy. And I mean deep understanding. But their character stinks. And I don't want to be around them. Amen? It is not about the revelation. It's not my revelation, or it's not your revelation. Revelation is from God, and God gives them to us, right? So it's not about revelation, but it's about our foundation. Do we have that foundation so that we can go ahead and support that? Amen? 10 of the 12 spies did not have a foundation and sufficient enough to support their revelation. Of the two who had faith, one spoke up. Numbers 13 and 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Instead of great faith coming to them from the revelation, right? They were filled with fear and defeat. They were filled with fear and defeat because they did not have the foundation to handle that revelation. They couldn't handle that. So they were filled with fear and defeat. Their lack of foundation of God prevented them to move in victory. So too in our lives. So too in our lives. Our lack of foundation in God will prevent us to move in victory with God. Amen? Important thought. The foundation for revelation must be built in our lives. Let me say that again. This is critical. The foundation for revelation must be built, as it must be built in the children of Israel. And it didn't happen at that time. Later, well, at times they kind of waffled and so forth. But that's what God was doing to the children of Israel in those 40 years in the desert. He was trying to build that foundation of revelation inside the children of Israel. Without it, God will never be able to put it into us. Put into us certain truths and revelations and the means of living them. Whew. Without it, God, without that foundation of revelation, God will never be able to put into us certain truths and revelations and the means of living them. Therefore, we must be willing for the undergirding foundation to be built in us. The lifelong process where God breaks us and He molds us and He works in our lives and He changes our heart and does all of those things in our life. Unwillingness for this particular work of God will cause loss of the riches of God. Now, I'm not talking about money and wealth and cars. I'm talking about the true riches of God. Peace. Joy, love, happiness, all of these things that are truly riches of God. God's riches is not money. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and He even owns the hills. He's not too much into money, but He's into peace and joy and long-suffering and all of those things. Come, let us go into the wilderness in 2018 with willing hearts. There we will learn riches and glean from ourselves unimaginable wealth. This is our goal for 2018. And I would like to say this would be the goal for this Bible study for 2018. Is to allow God to build a greater foundation of revelation for all of us to be able to hold His revelation and His discoveries. 2018 can be. It's up to us, not up to God. It's up to us. 2018 can be our best year that we have ever had in our life. 2018 can be the very, and whether it is or not, is not dependent upon God. It's God's intention to go ahead and give us one of the best years of our life. Do we have that foundation of revelation in us to where we'll be able to receive that revelation and the truths and all of the discoveries that God has for us in 2018? That's up to us. That's not up to God. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love and your many mercies. Father, Lord, we thank you for this teaching, Father, Lord God. We thank you for this time, Father. Lord, as it goes out, Father, over the internet, Father, Lord God, may many people, Father, Lord God, adopt this, Father, Lord God. May they see the truths in this, Father, Lord God, and they become a part of their life. In 2018, Father, Lord God, they're allowing God to work in their life and build that foundation of revelation in them, Father, Lord God, enabling them to have the very, very best years of their life and their family's life, Father. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord God. Lord, we praise you and we thank you and we give you the honor and the praise and the glory. We pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, good.